You're listening to an improvisation on the music of Johann Sebastian Bach, specifically the second movement from his double concerto. They called it Honesty, they being a group called Three-Part Invention, which is also the name of this CD, Improvisations on Johann Sebastian Bach. In this recording, they are pianist Philip Auberg, cellist Eugene Friesen, and violinist, frequently playing six-string viola, Tracy Silverman. And with their new cellist, Mike Block, they are coming to the Kirkland Fine Arts Center at Millikan University in Decatur tomorrow night for a concert at 7:30. Good afternoon, I'm Kevin Kelly, and this show is Live and Local. It's your connection to local performances. On the program today, coming up, I'll be talking with cellist Mike Block. But first, my guest is Tracy Silverman, the violinist of the group, and frequently plays the electric violin. And the concert, we'll hear details about the concert as we talk to both of these gentlemen. And Tracy, thanks very much for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Kevin. Great to be here.
I guess the other point of introduction that listeners would need about you is at least one description of you from the BBC as the greatest living exponent of the electric violin. Which sort of raises the question, how many other living exponents of the electric violin are there? And well, I don't know the answer to that.
It's a nice small pond,
Yeah. Luckily.
There aren't a lot. And, I think, unfortunately, I have the distinction of being the world's only concert electric violinist, which I think is a shame because it's a very important instrument, I think, in the history of stringed instruments. What's happened with the electric violin and the six-string electric violin, which I play, it's kind of to the acoustic violin what an electric guitar is to an acoustic guitar. So it's a valid instrument and something that I've made my little corner of the world and have been encouraging composers to write for the instrument, like John Adams and Terry Riley and, other well-known composers.
And what drew you to that electric sound? There's a quote in your bio in which it says you actually went to the Juilliard School wanting to be the next Yasha Heifetz, of course the great classical violinist from years gone by, but left wanting to be the next Jimi Hendrix. What happened at Juilliard that sort of switched your intention and got you inspired by this particular instrument?
Yes, what trauma has moved me from my path.
Well, it might be trauma. It might be something not so traumatic, but
well,
dramatic.
It was not really traumatic, but I did have a moment of epiphany one day when I was leafing through this catalog called the Schwann Catalog, and there used to be this thick catalog of all of the recordings in print. And for some reason, I was looking through the Tchaikovsky violin concertos, and after turning three or four pages of listings of performances, recordings of the Tchaikovsky violin concerto, it suddenly dawned on me, what was I doing? You know, why would the world want to hear another recording by me when you could get one by Yasha Heifetz or Oistrakh or Itzhak Perlman or whoever? And it wasn't really what I really wanted to do. I realized in that moment that what I really wanted to do was to play music for people I knew, kids I went to school with, and they weren't really listening to classical violin music the way I was as a student. They were listening to the electric guitar, and I wanted to speak to them in a language that they understood. So that's kind of how I started playing the electric violin, and not just the instrument itself, but the way I was playing it, which was very much influenced and inspired by rock music and hip-hop and jazz and folk and film scores and TV music and Brazilian and Indian and all the music that surrounds us, rather than being focused on just classical music. So, that's kind of been my my relationship with the electric violin.
Did the six-string violin precede the electric, or has they have always been one instrument for you?
Well, when I started playing, as soon as I got out of Juilliard, actually, I joined a rock band and needed an electric violin, and found a guy who would make me a six-string. So that was actually my first electric. But I wanted six because guitars had six, and I wanted to be able to go as low as a guitar. Because, you know, really, for a while there, all I wanted to do was play electric guitar, you know. So I was doing my – luckily, I didn't know how to play electric guitar, or I probably would have.
Why do you say luckily?
Well, because it forced me to play it, to change my violin and to change my violin technique, my classical technique, to be influenced to try to by rock music to sound like Jimi Hendrix or Carlos Santana. And if I could have done it on a guitar, I never would have gone to the trouble of figuring out how to use my bow in a different way and how to change my vibrato and, you know, all kinds of things like that.
Well, let's give a listen to one of the pieces off of your CD, which is called I'd Rather Be Dreaming. This came out when? 2005 or so, looks like?
Something like that. I don't remember. It's a few years ago. And this was started out as my just wanting to document what I was doing in live solo shows, where I use a loop pedal and I accompany myself singing. I do instrumental pieces by building up loops and doing things like that, original pieces of mine. So the idea was to document that show, and in the process I ended up adding some instruments and some great players like Victor Wooten and Roy Wooten and Jeff Coffin and other great Nashville guys who I'm lucky enough to know and play with.
Well, we're going to hear one of your compositions, you're on vocals on a number of these tunes, but here's one that is instrumental. It's called Sidewalk Vigil, Gramercy Park, New York, and it features, how does he say, Gian Reilly?
Gian Reilly, yeah.
Gian Reilly.
Terry Reilly's son, Gian.
Oh, really?
Right. Who's also on this record and is an amazing classical guitarist. Composer Terry Reilly's son.
Yeah, and then Thea Suits. Is it?
Yes, flutist.
Quarters, Roy Wooten, you mentioned on cajon and bongos, and yourself on, I suppose either the violin or viola or both. Do you remember what you were playing on this particular tune?
I think I used a lot of different instruments on this. I also have an acoustic six-string viola, so I use that on some tracks. I use acoustic, and I will be playing acoustic violin in this upcoming show Saturday night at Millikan. I will be doing electric and acoustic, so
it'll be a nice mix all around. Well, here's an example of the electric, and perhaps the acoustic in here as well. But the instrumental, you just get an idea of what Tracy's doing with the instrument. Tracy Silverman here on Live and Local before his appearance with Three Part Invention Saturday night in Decatur. Thank you. That was music by Tracy Silverman called Sidewalk Vigil, Gramercy Park, New York, along with Gian Riley, Thea Suits, and Roy Wooten on guitars, recorders, and percussion, respectively, from the CD called I'd Rather Be Dreaming. Tracy Silverman going to be joining. Two other gentlemen, cellist Mike Block and pianist Philip Auberg, together they're do you call yourselves as a group three-part invention, or is it a project that you present?
Yeah, well, kind of both. You know, the group, we call ourselves three-part invention, and, you know, came from this idea of playing a Bach record, which, you know, we didn't actually set out to walk directly into the cliche of playing sort of a, you know, a classical crossover Bach record. But we sort of ended up there and knowingly walking into it. But with the hope that somehow we could, with the arrogance that we could transcend that, somehow, you know, what we really set out to do was to make a record of original material that we would write as composers that really illustrated this hybrid style that we play in, because what's unique about three-part invention is that we're not a typical, it's a piano trio, a piano, violin, cello combination, but we are not playing typical repertoire, and we're not playing the instruments in a typical classical way. Even though we all three come from classical backgrounds and know that literature intimately, we've also each spent many years playing non-classical gigs, touring, playing clubs, and really steeped in, you know, non-classical music. And we all have this common belief that the future of classical music, the future of chamber music, is the future of all music. You know, it involves rock and pop and hip-hop and film scores and all of those styles. So, you know, we deliberately bring all that to the table. So we originally were going to, you know, write our own stuff, and in waiting, you know, in the meantime, we were just kind of goofing around with some Bach pieces that Phil had a copy of the three-part inventions on his piano. And so we're goofing around with those while we were waiting for somebody to write something original. And we just, you know, we're having such a great time with it, just sort of free-falling and brainstorming with those pieces. And we thought, well, gee, you know, this, we could make a whole record out of this, you know. And, you know, we figured it, the Bach material was, you know, pretty good basic material to work with. I say facetiously, of course. And, you know, we probably weren't likely to write anything a whole lot better than what Bach had done, so why not just work with that stuff? So that's you know, how it ended up being a Bach record.
And you, the concert that you're presenting at Milligan is improvisations on Bach. Are you also going to do some of your own compositions on that?
Yes. What we will be doing on the show is we'll each be playing a 15 or 20 minute solo set, which I'll do, you know, my solo one-man concert stuff. Phil will do his, Mike will do his, and then we will get together and play, you know, as a trio as well. So, in which we'll be doing a lot of this Bach material, but also probably a few other things that we do as a trio.
And it's billed, the recording called that you have put out so far is called Improvisations on Bach.
Right.
When you do this stuff live, and then also when you do your own compositions as a trio, does it tend to be a combination of written out and improvised no matter what piece you're playing?
Absolutely. Yes, improvisation is a big part of what we do, and you know, it's a very important part of being a musician. Used to be a very important part of being a classical musician, but somehow that that part of it fell away and got picked up by jazz players and rock players. But yeah, I think improvising is a really important way to understand how music works. And in a sense, it's really composition that happens without any do-overs, you know. So it's a very important way to get into a composer's head, actually, by improvising on what they do, you know, on what they've done. To take a melody by Bach or Mozart or whatever and to play variations on it, or to free fall with the melody, in the sense of just letting it take you wherever it takes you. Those are really creative moments that I think bring us a lot closer to the composer. And I really wish that it was more a more vibrant part of classical education in conservatories, because it really helps playing just the notes on the page, you know, without actually using it in a concert. Just doing it in practice helps you play the written notes better, I think.
Well, I want to give listeners a chance to hear your recorded version of one of these Bach pieces. And I say the recorded version because, since there is improvisation, the actual live performed version may not quite sound like this. This is, and since you mentioned jazz, this is one that has a particularly jazzy feel to it. You call it the New Orleans Concerto, which is your take on the first movement of Bach's keyboard concerto, known as the Italian Concerto. And I wonder if you'd talk a little bit about how you did assemble this this performance, and how improvisation fits into it.
Well, you know, as I said, we were just kind of having fun with all these Bach pieces, and when we first started doing it, we didn't overthink it or anything. We were just kind of doing this while we were waiting for something better to come along in terms of original compositions. So Phil is amazing. Phil can do this sort of barrel house boogie woogie kind of old style, old school piano playing like nobody I've heard. And he had a copy of the Italian Concerto on his piano. He puts it in front of him, and he starts playing it straight, bum 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 ba ba, you know, just beautifully, and then halfway through he just breaks into this boogie woogie thing, and we were on the floor. We thought, you got to do that. So we were just backing him up. That's Phil all the way.
And it's actually, now that you sing it, and I think jazz, I'm thinking that, you know, there's some inherent jazzy rhythms in the piece, just playing it straight.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about Bach. It's indestructible. It's such rhythmically vital music. It's so melodically alive that, you know, even we couldn't destroy it.
Well, let's say you enhance it.
Well, it's certainly done with love. This is really the only track, so that people don't get the wrong impression. We're not... our concerts are fun, and we have a lot of fun with what we do on stage. But for the most part, most of these improvisations, reinventions of Bach, are done with a lot of reverence. And this one, however, we are kind of just having a blast.
Well, we'll get to one or two of the others and give people a chance to hear the lower key. But this one just seemed like a lot of fun, and since you mentioned the jazz, here it goes. Tracy, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Wish we had a little more time, but people can hear Tracy Silverman with cellist Mike Block and pianist Philip Auberg as three-part invention Saturday at 7:30 at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center at Millikan University in Decatur. In fact, I'll be talking with Mike Block very shortly on the show here as well. Actually, he's a local boy. More about that. A somewhat local boy. More about that later on. And thanks very much for joining us on Live and Local.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. We'll be right back.
That's the group Three Part Invention from their CD called Improvisations on Bach. They're going to be playing at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center at Millikan University tomorrow night for a concert at 7:30. The recording you heard featured two of the still current players, pianist Philip Auberg and violinist Tracy Silverman, as well as cellist Eugene Friesen. I'll be talking with their new cellist, Mike Block, in just a couple of minutes. What we heard was what they called the New Orleans Concerto. It's their take on the first movement of the Italian Concerto for keyboard by Johann Sebastian Bach. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our programs today are made possible with support from Columbia Street Roastery, offering over 30 varieties and blends of whole bean or ground coffee at 24 East Columbia in Champaign. Coffee, tea, and chai are available from their retail store, in local restaurants, and through Columbia Street Roastery's coffee service. More information is available at 352-9713. We also have support from The Great Impasta, a family-owned restaurant serving foods from northern Italy for more than 25 years. The Great Impasta, Lincoln Square in downtown Urbana. More information is available at 359-7377. They're open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. Cellist Mike Block has a local connection. He is the son of Glenn Block, who is the director of orchestras and also conductor, professor of conducting at Illinois State University. Mike was on this show in the first year that we did it in 2009, along with a wonderful pipa player. That's a Chinese plucked stringed instrument named Yang Wei. They were performing, as it happens, for their first time as a duo. Publicly on our show, both of them having met each other as members of Yo-Yo Ma's Silk Road project, which Mike has been a participant in, along with quite a number of other things. He's classically trained, as are all the members of Three-Part Invention. He's also been involved with Mark O'Connor's Appalachia Waltz Trio and many other things as well. Mike had quite a nasty traffic accident, to say the least, not long after he'd been on the show, when it went through a lot of medical work and so on. I'm very pleased that to hear from him that he is only recently fully recovered, but certainly glad that that has happened. And Mike, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to be back.
And glad to hear that you're all in one piece again, I guess.
Yes. Me as well. Luckily, my long-term injuries weren't affecting the music at all, so I've been busy and active and have been playing with Tracy and Phil in the Three-Part Invention for just about a year now, and sort of filling in for the great cellist Eugene Friesen, who founded the group with them.
Now, you say filling in, meaning he's coming back, or
That I'm aware of. No, I'm just sort of filling in his shoes.
Ah, I see. Fair enough. So you are the cellist of Three-Part Invention.
Correct.
Eugene is gone. Well, a little more background. I'll mention some things about you, but then I'll let you talk about some of these things more extensively. You've been involved in Yo-Yo Ma's Silk Road Ensemble, both as a performer and as a producer. You've been involved in Mark O'Connor's Appalachia Waltz Trio. For 3 years, you've been artistic director and host of something called Global Art Equals Local Art, GALA, Gala Brooklyn, which I'm very curious about. And you're soon going to be a professor at Berklee College of Music in Boston, having taught at Southern Methodist University as a guest artist periodically. That's an awful lot of really divergent material. And maybe you can fill in how you got to be deciding to do all that stuff instead of just playing the cello in a conventional classical way.
Well, my background is completely classical, and after I graduated from Juilliard, I had already started playing in Yo-Yo Ma's Silk Road Ensemble and getting exposed to music from all over the world, and I also joined Mark O'Connor's Appalachia Waltz Trio. And that sort of introduced me into the whole world of American folk music and sort of string playing specifically from around the world. And so I've just kind of been trying to explore pretty much any genre that is willing to have a cellist. And that's sort of what I am excited about artistically, is putting myself in situations where I can work with people in different, from different backgrounds.
Now you say willing to have a cellist. Does that also mean that can tolerate cello in that particular style?
Well, the cello is luckily an incredibly versatile instrument, and it can work in almost any style. And what's great about musicians these days is people are willing to try new things and play with interesting people almost regardless of the instrument they play. And so I've found myself in a lot of cross-genre groups and getting to play with some really wonderful musicians, primarily because I'm doing things on the cello that most cellos don't do.
For example,
well, just kind of developing my improvisational abilities to the point where, you know, I can interact with musicians from many genres and also do a lot of groove-based accompaniments that cellists in a classical background never get to do. And I also sing and write songs. And I try and put myself in a lot of different situations because I find that I actually feel like a different musician in different circumstances. And I really enjoy sort of learning more about myself by trying new things. So all of that kind of has taken me to all of the wonderful people you mentioned, Yo-Yo Ma and Mark O'Connor, and I played a bunch with Daryl Anger, and I play actually a fair amount of Arabic music, and I'm, you know, always trying to meet new people and to learn new styles.
Well, I wanted to play something off of a CD that you made with what you call the Mike Block Band. A CD called, you got a couple of CDs with that group. This one's called After the Factory Closes. And one of the genres, at least to my ear, that you seem to be picking up on is on this particular tune is kind of a combination of old-timey bluegrass music, and it's called Fire on the Mountain.
So what's great, an interesting quirk of American folk music is you'll often find tunes with very different names that sound very similar. And you'll also find tunes with the very exact name that don't sound anything alike. And so I found this old-time Appalachian tune called Fire on the Mountain, which sounds completely different than a pretty standard bluegrass tune, also called Fire on the Mountain. So I put together an arrangement that combined the two of them in a new way.
So I nailed it when I said old time and bluegrass.
You totally nailed it, yeah.
Oh, I'm so impressed with myself. Thanks for the validation. Here's Mike Block on the cello, and who else is in the band with you?
In that recording, it features Matt Fields on bass, Damian Bassman on drums, and Kyle Sanna on electric guitar.
All right, it's from the Mike Block Group, After the Factory Closes, here on Live and Local.
Thank you.
That tune was called, I should say those tunes combined were both called Fire on the Mountain. That comes from the CD by the Mike Block Band called After the Factory Closes. Mike Block on cello, Matt Fields on bass, Damian Bassman on drums, and Kyle Sanna on guitar. Mike Block is going to be performing with three-part invention on Saturday at Millikan University's Kirkland Fine Arts Center. And as I understood it from Tracy Silverman earlier this hour on Live and Local, Mike and Tracy and the pianist Philip Auberg will each do a 15 to 20 minute solo set, and then they combine as three-part invention. And Mike, do I understand correctly that you're also doing a recital sometime this weekend?
Yes, I'll also, while I'm in the area, be doing a full solo recital at Illinois State University on Sunday, September 19th at 3 p.m., and that's free. And then I'll be sticking in town to do a class for some string students there, an improvisation class at the school on Monday.
And which hall are you going to be in at ISU?
I think that would be Kemp Recital Hall.
That would make sense. And is that just by yourself, or are you using a pianist?
No, that will be 100% solo, just cello and voice, and I'll be doing a mixture of classical music, folk music, jazz, and some original songs.
So giving a pretty good idea of some of your notion of the expansion of the what the cello can do. Tracy was talking earlier about how he needed to sort of revise his violin playing technique to exploit the six-string electric violin. And I wonder how much you've actually needed to revise your classical cello technique to do some of the things you're doing versus simply use your classical technique and it works in lots of different ways.
That's a great question. I know Tracy has actually expanded his ability greatly, not only to maneuver six strings, but he also plays a lot on the electric violin, which definitely requires a whole adjusted approach to the instrument. And for cello, I'm still playing acoustically, and I'm still playing with four strings, but I find that I definitely have to change my playing for every single style that I play it. And, I went to Juilliard, as did Tracy and Phil at one point in our lives, and I realized at a certain point in my journey towards other styles that the classical technique is just as you described it. It's just a classical technique, and that every genre really needs its own technique and its own approach to the instrument. And so I've had to learn a lot of different skills, some percussive skills called the chop, and general like pizzicato techniques that I stole a lot from guitarists. Just the skills of improvising and of really maneuvering through music by ear is a big part of non-classical music, obviously. And with classical musicians, everything's written down. So to begin to feel free to create your own notes is one of the biggest things to learn when becoming a creative musician.
As opposed to a recreative musician.
Exactly.
I wanted to play something else from this album, After the Factory Closes, with the Mike Block Band. And I heard this as a little, it's a very melodic tune, but it's also got, it sounds to me like a bit of a jazzy influence. And I wonder if you could maybe talk a little bit about, technically, how you had to adapt. This one is called, the wonderful name, The Earthquake Fell in Love with the Tornado.
The Earthquake Fell in Love with the Tornado is it's actually one of my own favorite tunes from that album. It kind of started as a joke. As you'll hear, there's a lot of sliding involved in this melody, and there's a lot of large octave shifts. And at first I was kind of writing it not seriously, because it almost sounded like an exercise to me. But the more I worked with it, the more I started to just really love the melody. And the sort of siren aspect of the melody started really capturing some imagery for me. So I ended up crafting this tune around the idea of an earthquake falling in love with a tornado. And so you'll hear a lot of rumbling rhythms and sort of uneven rhythms happening underneath this siren-like melody. So I tried to tell a story of two natural disasters falling in love. And so that's what you'll hear.
And they appear from the melody to have some amount of affection for each other.
Yes, they're definitely in love.
The Earthquake Fell in Love with the Tornado. It's the Mike Block Band featuring Mike Block on cello here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The Earthquake Fell in Love with the Tornado, the name of that tune, composition by Mike Block, who's featured on the cello, and also Matt Fields on bass, Damian Bassman on drums, and Kyle Sanna on the guitar. Together, they're the Mike Block Band on their CD from 2010, I think, called After the Factory Closes. And Mike Block will be appearing with Philip Auberg piano and Tracy Silverman violin as three-part invention at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center in Decatur tomorrow night, 7:30. And then he'll also, on Sunday night, be giving a recital, a solo cello recital, at Illinois State University in Kemp Recital Hall at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. ISU, where Mike's dad happens to be the orchestra director, Glenn Block, is orchestra director there. In the group three-part invention, which we're going to hear again in just a little bit, is this sort of the natural extension of some of your improvisation, your acquired improvisational skills, as you combine them with some of the written-out music of Bach?
Yeah, very much so. It actually feels like a very comfortable context to play with Tracy and Phil, because we all have the classical background, and now professionally we all do primarily creative music and improvisation, and we all do our own compositions. So it's really fun to sort of dissect this music that we all know very well and put very personal stamps on it. And there's, so there's a lot of genres that we're exploring through Bach's music, and also just the musical material itself lends it, you know, lends a lot of leeway for improvisation and for reorchestration between our instruments. Because we're playing mostly solo piano pieces along with, you know, the Italian piano concerto and a movement from the violin double concerto, but a lot of it is solo piano pieces from the well-tempered claviers. And so our orchestration of that for our group is really fun, and we get to come up with all sorts of sounds.
Well, we're going to, since you mentioned well-tempered clavier, we're going to go out with one of the preludes from the first of those books of Preludes and Fugues. This is Prelude number 5. You call the tune Wheelworks. This is from Three Part Inventions CD. Does it, as like a sort of a standard jazz piece, you'll begin with what is the tune that is usually written out, and then there's improvised sections, and then eventually comes back to the tune. Is this structured somewhat that way?
Yeah, you'll hear some improvisation on this track, primarily by the violin, I think. But this is actually one where we took a more arrangement hat for it, and you'll hear it sort of orchestrated, and the parts are divided among the instruments. And so it's kind of, I love the textures that are on this this album recording. But it doesn't actually stray too far from the original score, as you'll hear.
And of course, what may happen on Saturday if you play this tune might be something completely different.
Exactly.
At least to an extent. Mike, it's a pleasure to talk to you, and I hope you have a marvelous weekend coming back, at least what is your dad's home at this point.
Yeah, thank you.
And visiting us here. It's Mike Block. We'll be joining Three Part Invention Saturday night at Kirkland Fine Arts Center. Concert starts at 7:30. You can go to their website for more information, of course. And he's joined by pianist Philip Auberg and Tracy Silverman on the violin, both featured on this adaptation of Bach. It's called Wheelworks, and you may recognize the tune otherwise. Thank you. That was called Wheelworks, the take by three-part invention on Johann Sebastian Bach's D major prelude from his first book called The Well-Tempered Clavier. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and I appreciate your joining us for the show today. We'll be back with another from 4 to 5 p.m. on Monday. And coming up in just a couple of minutes, it's All Things Considered from NPR. Here are some events you can see and hear live this weekend besides three-part inventions, Saturday Night Indicator. At Michael's Restaurant in Bloomington this evening at 6, it's the Aduki Trio playing jazz. Ernie Haas and Signature Sound present gospel music at the Hoagland Center in Springfield. That's tonight at 7 o'clock. Heartland Theater Company in Normal presents These Shining Lives tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 and Sunday at 2 o'clock. The Prairie Dogs are at the Iron Post in just a couple of minutes. That starts at 5 o'clock in downtown Urbana. At Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood, Black Ridge Road are playing bluegrass starting at 5:30. David Howie, who was on our show yesterday, is at Silver Creek Restaurant in Urbana starting this evening at 5:30. The Arcola Broomcorn Festival is going on today, tomorrow, and Sunday with lots of different kinds of entertainment, including particularly country music. The CU Pride Festival is going on at Lincoln Square in Urbana all day today and tomorrow and on Sunday as well, with lots of different kinds of entertainment for the whole family, including lots of live music. The Meadowbrook Park Jazz Walk has been postponed from tonight until tomorrow night. You can check the Park District, Urbana Park District website for more info, I'm sure. And Red Mask Players are presenting the Adventures of Tom Sawyer at the Catherine Randolph Theater in Danville tonight at 7 o'clock. Also tomorrow at 2 and 7 and on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Lots of other things going on as well. Our program today is made possible by the Danville Symphony with their 46th season, including performances by the Celtic group Leahy, the Chicago Brass Quintet, violinist Clara Jumi Kong, and Tony Sandler as Maurice Chevalier. Season memberships and more information are available at 443-5300. This is 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois.